Morning, church. Before we really dive in here and get started, I'm just going to ask, as part of the service today, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. So if you look in front of you in that seat back pocket, or maybe you're in the front row, there should be that cup there with that bread. So just ask that you grab that if you have one or you need one. There's not one in the seat back in front of you. Maybe talk to your neighbor behind you. First tell them hello and thank you and that you love them, and then maybe ask if there's one in front of them. But this morning, diving in and continuing in through our series, All In, where we're seeking to live a life of greater devotion to Jesus Christ by giving Him everything we have, all of our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, our spirit, to live that life of greater devotion. And we've really been working through the book of Colossians and taking it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, have covered a lot of ground. We're continuing in chapter 3 this morning. We'll be in chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, looking at being all in, living this new life, and we're continuing from last week. So this is really part two, and as we do that, we're gonna see as Paul continues to use this imagery of taking off clothes and clothing ourselves with something new, that what we really need to put on this morning. But before we dive into that and looking at putting on those new clothes and what that truly means for us as believers, we're gonna take a little bit of a poll. We're gonna have some fun, okay? So let's Take a deep breath. Everybody engage. Audience participation, because we're really going to find out a lot about who you are this morning when we ask this question. So prepare yourselves. So the first one, because there's really two groups of people. This first group of people, if this is you, I want you to raise your hand. In preparation for the following day, so maybe last night, it being Saturday, you're like, okay, I got church tomorrow morning. I'm going to wake up. These are the clothes I'm going to wear. So they were like hanging on a clothes hanger, and you put them somewhere special in your closet, or they were nice and folded up, and you put them in that special place. You always put them just to prepare. So you know, I'm going to wear these clothes. This is the top. This is the pants. Here's the socks. Here's the belt. Here's the shoes. How many folks do we got like that? Wow, I really thought there was going to be a whole lot more. Praise the Lord for you folks. That's me as well. Okay, this next group, okay, this other group is just so spirit-led, okay? You wake up in the morning and you're led by the Holy Spirit as you walk into that closet. You're like, I'm feeling that top. Okay, nope, not those pants. That's the Lord, those are the ones. So that's the rest of you, right? I really thought that was going to go different. Well, praise, I mean, you guys are, you just feel the sensing and the movement of the Holy Spirit. So good for you guys. That's not me. Okay, I'm the one, I've got to have it folded, ready, even have a special hanger in the closet, away from all the other clothes, boom, this is what I'm going to wear tomorrow. Got it all ready. And the whole reason, I mean, it takes the guesswork out. You just know, and you can sleep better. Okay? So that second group, I'm going to fix you real quick. I mean, get your life right. You'll be able to sleep a whole lot better any day of the week because you know exactly what you're going to wear tomorrow all the way down to the socks, okay? But hey, we're not going to talk about, hey, getting ready and wearing clothes physically, but we're going to see this morning that as Paul showed us that, hey, we need to take off those grave clothes and we put on these new life clothes this morning. We're going to see exactly what those are, but not only what they are, but how we go about getting dressed. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12 through verse 17. If you don't have a Bible, the verses will be on the screen. The word of the Lord here. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if you have a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And then in verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. Oh Lord, as we just sang, you are a good, good Father. Lord, we pray this morning that as we dive into your word, and Lord, we see your goodness. Lord, how gracious you are, how merciful you are, how loving you are. Lord, I just pray that you, through the work of your Holy Spirit, would change us from the inside out. And Lord, as we have fun and we get to laugh and Lord, just experience your presence and your love together as a body, Lord, I just pray that those grave clothes would be gone. Lord, that we'd start to clothe ourselves with these new things that you have for us through the work of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that we wouldn't just try harder or try to check the box, but Lord, we would allow you to do the work in us. Lord, that we would make way to say, okay, Lord, have your will, have your way in my life. And Lord, as we come this morning, Lord, I know that the week has been tough. Lord, the world can drag us down and we can feel empty and anxious and fearful as we come in this morning. But Lord, I just pray that we would cast all that stuff aside. We'd leave it at your feet. God, knowing that that's not what you want for us, but you have everything we need. All we need to do is ask, But all we need to do is come and be faithful and submit it to you. And Lord, you tell us that you have it all for us. So Father, I don't know what it is that's holding us back, but whatever it is, Lord, we leave it at your feet. God, we pray that your name would be lifted high this morning, Lord, that you'd be glorified, that people would hear the gospel and be saved, that saints would be equipped for the work of ministry. And Lord, we pray it all in the powerful, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So now, as we read there, we've been working through this book, which, as we've been working through it, we've been getting some more and more of the context each and every week, so we know that it's not actually a book, but starts with an L, letter, we'd call it, or an epistle, and it's authored by Paul, and as he writes it to the church at Colossae, and the reason and the occasion he's writing is because that church planter Epaphras has gone to Paul while Paul is detained, and it says, hey, this is what's going on in the church. This is what's happening, and what do we do here? This is the state of the Colossian church. There's some false teaching and some false doctrine that's happening. So Paul writes this letter not only to encourage and come alongside the believers in Colossae, but to address, hey, those false doctrines and false teachings that are happening. But then as we started in chapter 3 last week, we see this turning point from Paul, that he goes from talking about that false teaching and giving truth to giving practical theological truth, to say, hey, now this is how Jesus changes our lives, hey, that we have these new lives that we should be all in living, and not only, hey, do we have this new direction that we think about, hey, the things of heaven, the things that are above, and pursue those things, but we take off those grave clothes, those sinful actions, those sinful desires, those sinful thoughts, that anger, that malice, that slander, hey, we take all that off, we lay it aside. And now he says, hey, this is what you need to put on. This is what you need to clothe yourselves with. And he uses that image, the imagery of getting dressed, something that we are all familiar with. And I will say, based on the poll this morning, hey, some of us are a little bit better at it than other people, okay? Some of us are just a little more prepared the night before. But as he uses this imagery in this word picture of getting dressed, he doesn't just have us, hey, take clothes off, and we're spiritually naked, if you will. But what he says is, hey, you got to take clothes off, and you've got to put clothes on. Hey, aren't you glad for the graciousness of our God and his mercy that, hey, there's no guesswork involved here. He just lays it out for us, plain and simple. He says, this is what you need to put on as believers who are going to be all in for this new life. This is what you need to put on. And really, it's not necessarily clothes. We don't have these physical, spiritual clothes that we each clothe ourselves in and we all come dressed to church every morning in the same thing. Hey, these are characteristics. What Paul is saying here using this imagery is that if we're all in for this new life, we need to exhibit the new life characteristics. We need to exhibit the new life characteristics. And that's where he starts there in verse 15. As he starts to lay them out, he says, In verse 12, put then on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if you have a complaint against one another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, you must also forgive. And above all, he says, you need to put on love. Those are those new life characteristics that Paul lays out there using that illustration that we all know so well. Engaging or exhibiting the new life characteristics. Hey, these are attributes, characteristics, things that we know so well as human beings that we need to exhibit each and every day. And as he lays them out, there's really seven of them. And I'm going to go through them real quick, but we don't need to really dive into them too much because we know them. We know exactly what they are as God lays them out. And he says compassion. Hey, as believers, we need to be compassionate. We need to exhibit that characteristic of compassion to those around us. We look at compassion as sensitivity and heartfelt sympathy for those around us. We see this in the life of Jesus. Hey, that he was compassionate enough towards us and us being sinful and turning away from him, hey, that he stepped down. He cared enough for us to step down to go to the cross for our sins. He had compassion on us. But then Paul doesn't stop at compassion. He says, hey, you've got to be kind. You've got to exhibit kindness. Not only do you got to be compassionate, but as you exhibit kindness, it's that acting charitable to the needs of other people. We took a benevolence offering this morning. The whole reason we do that is so we can be charitable and we can be kind to a lost community. But also to a found community, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Hey, we've got needs sometimes, where we need the church to step in and be kind and fill that gap. So he says, hey, you've got to have compassion, you got to have kindness, hey, but you also have to have humility. That we need to exhibit humble hearts towards those around us. Humility being not having that puffed out chest, not being so prideful to say, hey, we don't need any help, we don't need anybody, I've got it all figured out, I know what I'm doing, you don't know who you're talking to. That's somebody who's prideful. That's not humility. But humility is not also not just having that puffed out, not having that puffed out chest, but it's also not thinking so low of ourselves that, hey, we kind of disgrace ourselves a little bit. Like, how terrible am I? That's not humility either. Humility is that balance between the both. Hey, where we see our complete need for our Savior, Jesus Christ, and live with a complete dependence on him. That's being humble at heart. That's having humility. So Paul says, you got to clothe yourselves with compassion. You got to be kind. You got to be humble and have humility. Hey, but you also have to be meek. You have to show, hey, meekness. Hey, that's power under restraint. Being meek. Knowing that you may have the ability, you may have the power to do so. Hey, but you restrain all those things and you live with meekness. We see this in the life of Jesus. Hey, when he humbly and compassionately and kindly went to the cross, hey, as they were beating him down, as they were breaking his body, as he was hanging on that cross, could he call down legions of angels? You bet. Could have stopped it all. But in his meekness, he restrained all that power through his love to give up his life for us. That's meekness. But then we read, you got to be patient. Hey, we've got to be patient, meaning not only do we have to restrain ourselves, but we've got to have the ability to endure tough circumstances, tough people, tough situations, all for the glory of the Lord. It means maybe when we want to step in and maybe give some of that anger, some of that wrath, some of that malice that Paul talked about previously, it's being patient and saying, nope, that's not what it's about. Through the work of the Holy Spirit and his strength and his power, hey, I'm going to endure this situation for the glory of God. I'm going to deal with this difficult person for the glory of my Lord and Savior. He doesn't stop at being patient. He says, hey, you've got to forgive one another. Not giving somebody, hey, what they deserve, not holding it against them, forgiving them for how they've wronged you, just as God has forgiven us. But he says, above all these things, hey, you need to be loving. You need to clothe yourselves in love. Above all these other things, hey, this is where you need to start. Hey, because when we clothe ourselves in love and we exhibit this characteristic, hey, all these other things are going to outflow from the love in our hearts. Hey, when we're loving, we can be compassionate. When we're loving, we can be kind. When we're loving, we can be patient. When we're loving, hey, we have the ability to be humble. When we're loving, we can be meek. And Paul says, above all those other things, love is where it's at. That's where you need to start. Hey, and as we go through all of those, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness, hey, love, all those things, the reason why we're going through it so quick is because we all know what they mean, for the most part. They're easily perceived. But as much as they are easily perceived, they're very hard to perform. We know what they are. We can identify each one of them. We can give the definition. We know what it looks like, but it's very hard as believers to live it out. I'm going to give you an example. Because the first time somebody hurts us or cuts real deep, do we want to love? No. Hey, somebody slanders our name on the internet, on Facebook, Instagram, or posts some video that really hurts us and makes fun of us, hey, do you think we want to forgive? No. Do you think we want to be patient? No. They're very easily perceived, but very hard to perform. We were, the other weekend, we were down in Minneapolis on a Saturday. We were going to Monster Jam for kind of a birthday present, and we were driving in to a parking garage because it was at U.S. Bank Stadium, so you got to park in a parking garage, and those things are kind of tight to get the old family station wagon up into up the little ramp so you can get into the parking spot. Well, we're following this gentleman who's in a white truck, very nice truck, and we've got our distance, we've got our car length, but as he was parking, he obviously wanted to back into his parking spot, which was not by anybody because he didn't want anybody to scratch his nice vehicle. I understand that. So he kind of pulls forward, so then we stop short so that he could back in, but I guess he didn't like where we were at. So he proceeded to roll down his window and kind of like wave us forward. Well, it's so tight in there and we're around the corner that we couldn't maneuver the family station wagon around him, so we're kind of like sitting there like, okay, what do you want us to do? We can't back up because there's cars behind us and you can't back into your parking spot. So he then kind of hangs out the window and, gives like the fist shake, like, what are you doing, you dummies? And we're like, hey, I don't know, we're from Pequot Lakes, Pine River, we're not from the cities, we don't know what to do. And so we can't move and he's getting upset. And then he backs in real angrily, and then as we drive past, he kind of gives the California howdy. All right, adults, if the one-finger California howdy, you know which one it is. And as we're doing that, my daughter lets us know, like, hey, Dad, this is what's going on. That's what that guy's doing. And at that point, I'm kind of like, okay, yeah, hey, compassion, gentleness, hey, kindness, love. Hey, you know what? When somebody gives you the California howdy, you kind of like, ooh, and thinking like, no, hey, holster the weapon, okay? Holster the California howdy and put it back. Okay, why? Hey, because we as believers who are all in living this new life need to exhibit the new life characteristics. But when somebody does that to us in the moment, when somebody hurts us or somebody does something like that, what we want to do is we want to throw off the new clothes, hey, and we want to put on the old ones. Because, that's where the old nature is. That's what we're used to. That's what feels comfortable. How many of y'all have a favorite shirt? Okay. How many of you men have a favorite shirt that your wife has secretly thrown out and you can't find it? Okay. But the reason it's probably your favorite is because you feel like it fits right because you've worn it for like 20 years, and even though it really doesn't fit, but your wife's too loving to tell you that, hey, like, the belly hangs out the bottom, you probably need to throw it away. It just feels comfortable. You're used to wearing it. When we come to Jesus, we're so used to wearing these grave clothes, hey, these dirty, sinful things, that, hey, we want to go back to them because we're so used to wearing it that, hey, it almost feels good and comfortable. But God's word says, no, hey, that's the stuff you need to leave behind. It needs to be dead. It's not even there anymore. And this is the stuff that you need to exhibit. This is the stuff you need to clothe yourselves with. But once again, God is so gracious that not only does he lay this stuff out for us, very plain and simple, where there's no guesswork, but he says, hey, this is what you need to clothe yourselves with. Hey, but this is also how you do it. How many of you got dressed this morning? Everybody should have their hands raised, okay? Because everybody's got clothes on. So you got dressed. Now, how many of us actually think about how we get dressed now? Not too many. Okay, if you're middle-aged like me, you're like, somebody probably, you know, I'm 37, so probably for the last, at least the last 10 years for sure, I figured out how to put my clothes on by myself, okay? And it's become second nature. You know, you put one leg in at a time, you put the pants on, you put the belt on, put the shirt on, and then you take 30 seconds and fix the hair, and you're good to go. You're ready to attack the day. But there was a point in your life where you actually thought, you were a youngster, and you thought, hey, your pants go on your arms. You thought your socks go on your hands. You didn't know how to tie your shoes. All right, mama had to get you dressed because you looked so silly and said, nope, okay, hey, nope, not two legs. Quit trying to jump into your pants. Nope, it's one at a time. Okay, this is how you do it. This is how you put your shirt on. This is how you put your socks on. And then she still tied your shoes probably for 5 years or so, and then you actually figured out how to do it. Somebody had to teach us how to get dressed. Even though we had the clothes, we knew what we were supposed to wear, somebody taught us how to do it. That's exactly what God does here. Not only does he tell us what we need to wear, what we need to exhibit, what we need to clothe ourselves with, but he tells us exactly how we do it. Because it's not just, hey, try harder, do your very best, really sink in and really just think about it and you'll be able to do it. That's not what he says. Because he gives us the secret formula here, if you will. He tells us not only do we have to exhibit new life characteristics, but he tells us how to get dressed, hey, by engaging in the new life customs. In verse 15, we'll stop there. So new life customs, we're going to dive into verses 15 through 17. But as we do this, hey, these new life customs is really how we live life, how we get dressed. And that first one being there in verse 15, as he says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Part of learning how to clothe ourselves in these new life characteristics, hey, is resting in the peace of Christ and pursuing that very peace. Resting in and pursuing the peace of Jesus. That's how we can start to put those new clothes on. The peace of Jesus being that, hey, when in our sinful nature, in our sinful ways, hey, the Bible tells us we are at war with God. We are at war with him. But when we repent of our sin, put our faith and trust in Jesus, that he's that all-sufficient sacrifice on that cross, that he gave up his life so that we could be forgiven, and he rose from the grave, we go from being at war with God, hey, to being at peace. We read it in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says here that, hey, we need to let that peace rule in our hearts. That peace we experience and the peace we have in Jesus, hey, should be dwelling so deep in our hearts, hey, that we can rest in it as his people, and that's what we pursue in life. Let's remember what Paul told us to take up. Sexual immorality, impurity, malice, wrath, anger, slander. When we rest in the peace of Jesus and we pursue peace in relationships, in conversations, in interactions, hey, that's where that love can come from. That's where we can start to be compassionate. That's where we can start to be patient. Why? Because of the peace that we have in Jesus gives us all those things in that relationship we have with him. Because we are at peace with him, we experience his love. Because we are at peace with him, we experience his compassion. Because we're at peace with him, hey, we experience his kindness. Because we are at peace with him, we experience his patience. And as we experience it, those are the things, hey, that we can show other people. So when we start to engage in these new life customs that we're supposed to rest in peace, hey, we're supposed to pursue peace, hey, we start to put on our clothes, but we're not fully clothed yet, because then he tells us, hey, not only do we have to do those things, hey, but we've got to be gospel-centered and outpouring in gratitude if we want to exhibit these characteristics. right there in verse 16. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So first, remember, he said, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Now he's saying, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. What's the word that he's talking about? It's the message of Christ. It's what Jesus came to proclaim. Hey, that he is going to die for the sins of the world on the cross, and all the wrath is going to be poured out, hey, so that we can be forgiven, so that we can have this new life. It's not only pursuing peace, but it's pursuing the gospel, constantly being gospel-centered as his children. Not only having the gospel in our hearts, but being so gospel-focused that it's almost everything we filter life through. Hey, as I share this conversation, as I talk to this person, as I give this response, hey, is it gospel-focused? Does it help proclaim the message of Jesus, or does it tear it down? Because, church, I'll tell you, anger, gossip, sexual immorality, impurity, all those grave clothes, hey, they don't further the gospel. What's going to help further the message of Christ? What's going to help further the word of Jesus? Hey, that the kingdom, that he's inaugurated this kingdom, and it's going to come to a consummation at his return, hey, is when we start to exhibit those characteristics of the new life. It's when we engage in the new life customs of pursuing peace. And when the word of Christ, when the message of Christ is dwelling in us so deep, hey, you can't help but sing. You can't help but praise. You can't help but meet a brother and sister in the Lord and give a high five and go, man, go, Jesus is awesome. Because we know what we've been saved from. We've been saved from a life that's meant to be, that's going to be eternally separated from him forever. Man, that should break your heart. That should break your heart. That's somebody else's future who doesn't know Jesus. All that love and that peace and that strength and that comfort that you experience, if they don't know Jesus, hey, they experience the exact opposite. When we're gospel-focused and we're outpouring in gratitude because the gospel is still changing our lives, and we experience that love and peace of Jesus, hey, that's one of the things that we need to be constantly pursuing as his sons and daughters. Which is, hey, that's how you put on the clothes. You let the peace of Christ rule and reign in your heart. You pursue peace. Hey, but you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and you're gospel-focused and outpouring in gratitude because all the things I'm changing and doing in your life. But then lastly, he says, hey, you get dressed by doing everything to glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Seeking to glorify him over everything. Lifting up his name. Doing it all for his glory. He shares it in verse 17. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Paul there covers everything. In word and in deed and in everything, do it in the name of Jesus. It's seeking to make sure his name is glorified above all. Church, I really want to get this one home to us. Because I think sometimes we think that glorifying the name of Christ or lifting up his name in a grandiose way is done by, hey, preaching the word. It's done by holding some huge evangelistic event. It's done by running a huge, thriving church ministry program that glorifies his name above everything. Does that glorify the name of Christ? You bet it does. But I truly believe that a church can glorify the name of Jesus in the smallest things, which brings him glory in the biggest ways. Glorifying him in the smallest things to bring him glory and lifting his name in the biggest ways. You know what those small things are, church? It's exactly what Paul told us to exhibit with new life characteristics. we glorify the name of Christ greatly than when we love somebody. We glorify the name greatly, the name of Jesus greatly when we're patient. We glorify the name Jesus real high when we're compassionate, when we're kind, when we're humble. And when we all do that on a small level, in the small things, man, his name is glorified in a big way. And you know how often we can do that? You know how little planning it takes? We can do it 365 days a year with zero to little planning. Because we don't have to plan an event. We don't have to get people to set up for it. We don't have to get people to tear down. We don't have to pay somebody to come and speak. We just get to do it by living life. Living life, being all in the new life. Clothing ourselves, exhibiting those new life characteristics, and putting those clothes on by engaging in those new life customs, pursuing peace, resting in it, being gospel-centered and outpouring in gratitude, and seeking to glorify his name. We're going to move into communion this morning, but I want us to bring this home because this new life that we're all in living, it only comes one way. It only comes by repenting of our sin, putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's the only way this new life comes. As much as maybe we'd hope for it in a different way, that we could do something in our own power, in our own strength to get it, it only comes from Jesus. By confessing him as Lord. And as we do that, the Bible tells us we're born again. We see this right here in John 3:16, that Jesus is the only way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For many of us, this was probably the first Bible verse we learned. The first one. I think it's probably the first one we're still teaching a lot. Sometimes we like to move past it in this new life and think, yeah, that's for the youngins. That's for the little ones. That one's for all of us. It should be the center of what we do. It should be the center of how we live. It should be the center of what we proclaim. And the things we do should speak to the goodness of God and his love. And we can engage in this new life because of Jesus. And that's what we're going to remember this morning as we take communion. Hey, that these new clothes we have, these new folded up nice clothes that God gives us and he tells us to clothe ourselves with, we have because Jesus gave up his life. Because Jesus was compassionate towards us, he stepped down. Hey, because he was kind and loving, patient, humble, and wanting to give us forgiveness, he went to the cross. Body broken, bloodshed, taking all the Father's wrath, all that punishment that we deserve, everything that was meant for us, he took it all. So you could say, here's this new life. Here's these new clothes. Here's this new way of doing things. All as a free gift to you. Church, I invite you to bow your heads. We're just going to pray before we take the Lord's Supper together. Lord, you tell us in your word that as we remember this time, that as we're commanded to remember what you did for us so that we could have this new life, you went to that cross, your body was broken, your blood was shed, you gave up your life, Lord, you rose again on that third day. Lord, you tell us to remember that by taking the Lord's Supper together. Lord, we just as a church want to say thank you. We want to praise your name for the new life you've given us, for the punishment you took on our behalf. And Lord, you tell us as we remember this time together, Lord, that we don't do it with sin in our hearts. So Lord, I just pray and we lift everything up to you, Lord, that you know we fall short. There's still times where we don't meet the mark. There's still times where we want to put on those grave clothes and we want to let somebody have it. We want to be angry. We want to be wrathful. We want to let somebody have it. And Lord, we're sorry. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. We ask that you would wash us clean. Lord, as we take this bread and we drink this cup this morning, Lord, help us never forget, hey, that the gospel is still powerful. Lord, that the gospel still changes lives, that the gospel should still be at the center and the heart of who we are as a church, who we are as your people, Lord, that we should never be ashamed of it, but we should be bold in our witness. And God, we should take these new clothes that you give us, and we should clothe ourselves each and every day for your good, your glory, to be lit in your name lifted high above all things. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So church, I'm just going to invite you to grab that cup and there, just open up that portion of the bread there. As Paul shares in his letter to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took that bread, and we had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup, the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Oh, Lord, we're so grateful. Lord, we're so grateful that you went to the cross on our behalf. Lord, that you rose from the grave, giving us a picture of what our eternity looks like, resurrected life with you in heaven. Lord, we're so thankful that this new life that you've given us and these new clothes that you call us to put on and exhibit, Lord, you tell us exactly how to do it. And Father, it is all because you sent your son to die. Lord, help us never forget. Help the gospel permeate our hearts and move to our hands and our feet to a lost community. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, I invite you to stand. We're gonna sing one last song, and as we do, I'm gonna be down front. I'd love to pray with you. If you got something on your heart, and maybe it's looking at some of these characteristics, maybe it's help walking through one of these. Hey, just the Lord has put on your heart this morning. I invite you to come. Let's praise.
Praise unbroken. Praise unending. Be yours forevermore. Praise untainted, praise unfading. Be yours forevermore. Be yours forevermore. Unbroken praise be yours, God, forever. All my praise be yours, God, forever. Lord, take this life, let it become your throne. Surrender.
Yes, Lord, we lift up your name. Lord, we pray and we praise you for your goodness, Lord, your grace and your mercy and your, Lord, your love to us as your children. Lord, help us, our lives be that unbroken praise to you. Lord, that we would give you everything, that we would be all in, living this new life, exhibiting these characteristics, engaging in the new life customs, Lord, so that your name can be lifted high. That our lives would be unbroken praise to you. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Unbroken praise be yours.